Under new rules, some employers won't have to cover birth control. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. The Trump administration has issued a new rule on religious exemptions that allow some employers to opt out of covering contraceptive care for their female workers. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now in Washington. Nancy, can you explain this new rule?
Well, it's less sweeping than rules issued a year ago, which were challenged in court. Now the administration says if you're a nonprofit or a religious group, you can opt out of the Obamacare rule mandating insurance coverage for birth control if you have religious or moral objections. This rule does not apply to publicly traded companies, though, or the government, so it will mainly apply to small businesses.
So how many people will be affected?
The Trump administration is playing down the effect of this rule. It says only about 200 employers will be able to get an exemption from birth control coverage. Civil rights groups disagree, and there is a good chance this new rule will also be challenged in court. Barring that, it will go into effect in about 2 months.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. The Fed, the central bank of the United States, it has the power to either hit the brakes or the gas on the economy, is wrapping up its regular meetings today. Probably won't be raising interest rates this time around. Now, often when the Fed meets, we basically have to make educated guesses about what they're thinking because there's no press conference afterward and we don't get summaries of what was said behind closed doors until weeks later. But the Fed is changing that. It's going to have press conferences after every meeting starting next time where Chairman Jay Powell can tell us what they're thinking, answer questions. Diane Swonk is chief economist with tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton.
Now, Chairman Powell, I've sort of said he's an artful dodger at times because he doesn't want to give too much away of what was discussed at the meetings. But at the press conferences, you know, the press gets the opportunity to query him on things that they know are the nuances of the discussion. And that's what you'll see more of going forward is, you know, financial markets and the public getting almost near real time, almost immediately afterwards, view of what was discussed at the meeting. And that can be anything from tariffs, you know, whether or not we have additional tax cuts, and will there be agreement with the new Congress coming in, all of those kinds of things, those nuances will be more readily at our fingertips instead of having to pore over and trying to figure out individual statements made during the meeting themselves in the minutes, which come out 3 weeks later.
The Democrats took the House. Republicans increased their hold over the Senate. How does that affect the Fed, or does it affect the Fed?
Well, that's their key issue, is many people sort of misappropriate what kinds of powers the Congress has over the Fed. Congress does oversee the Fed. What's really important about understanding the Fed today is that Chairman Powell has very good relationships with both Democrats and Republicans going into these elections, so the outcome of the elections aren't really changing his relationship with Congress. The irony here is he has to be very politically savvy with both sides of the aisle to maintain his independence because they determine it, not the administration, but he has been. And I think, you know, I say it's ironic because he does have to go around and shake a lot of hands on Capitol Hill. But in doing that, he has more independence on the decisions he makes.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Babies have Instagram accounts. Dogs have Instagram accounts. So maybe it's not surprising that now houses do too. Not like celebrity houses, just houses. It's a new twist in real estate marketing. Anna Scott from KCRW in Los Angeles has more.
Welcome to the Insta Penthouse.
I'm here at this open house for a huge condo overlooking the ocean. It's 8,000 square feet and listed for $15 million. Alexander Ali shows me a wall covered with yellow plastic pinwheels.
It wows our guests and it puts them in the mindset of this is going to be fun. This is also their first Instagrammable moment.
Ali is not a real estate agent. It's not his job to sell this place.
I'm a property publicist and I'm supposed to make properties famous and talked about.
At this penthouse, Ali's turned entire rooms into photo-ready backdrops and created a hashtag.
We filled the tub with white and orange balls that you could actually get in.
The The real estate agent who is selling this condo, Rochelle Atlas Mays, hopes this buzz will help attract a certain buyer.
I think that it's a dot-commer, or you have the hedge fund guy from New York.
And how do you know that this buzz is working?
There's analytics, where it's hit, who's looking, how many clicks, all of that.
That's something you can't get from traditional advertising, nor is the party that Ali threw here recently with about 40 Instagram influencers. They got skincare swag in exchange for posting photos of the event with the property's hashtag. Influencers are people with at least 10,000 followers. Ali won't say exactly what he charged to organize that party.
So it can range anywhere for an event from $10,000 to $50,000.
His fee gets paid by the realtor, Mays, by the way. Still, the social media angle doesn't impress everyone, like realtor James Rucker, who's at the open house.
I'm just an old school agent and reaching out to my clients.
Does Instagram buzz add any value?
None.
But more and more, social media is playing a role in real estate. The National Association of Realtors surveyed its members earlier this year and found 77% are using various platforms to push sales. In Los Angeles, I'm Anna Scott for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.